I'm an Aleph, really starting a new sugya. The Mishnah had told us the din of kum levi the rabba minei, that you can't kill a person and make them pay money at the time. As tempting as that might be in some cases. So the Gemara now asks a question. Zach, what did you read? No, you read recently, right? You read recently. Who hasn't read recently? Who is itching to read? Benny. Go for it. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering. Vahame Hachanafka.
So, will you say that Vahame Hachanafka, you learn out from this passage, Mehasanafka, you learn out from the following. Kidei Risha Sel, Mishim Risha Achas, Tamachaibo, Via Tamachaibo, Mishim
Shemish. Okay. So the pasuk says, you can't be mechayev him mishum shnei rishayus. He gets one onesh. So, if that's the case, why do you need the pasuk of the man who strikes the pregnant woman? That if there's an ason, if she dies, then he doesn't pay money. Of course, he doesn't pay money. We already know that from the din of Kedei Rishaso. So the Gemara answers, why do you need two psukim? Go ahead. Okay. So you need one pasuk to teach you that you don't give a person the death penalty and make them pay money, and another one to tell them you don't give a malchus and make them pay money. And now, of course, why do you need both? With Sricha. Okay, so you would have thought that the reason why you don't give someone Misa and Mamon is because Misa is so severe, it represents the loss of a human being, you're killing him, therefore there will be no Mamon. But Malchus and Mamon, okay, Malchus is pretty bad, but it's not anywhere near as bad as Misa. So there's no destruction of a life, and therefore you would say there that you would give him two punishments. V'iyash me'inan. Right. When it comes to Malchus and Mamon, we'll say that you don't get two punishments because, look, the fact that the Avera entails the punishment of Malchus indicates that it can't be that bad. Something, the Avera is so bad that you get the death penalty for it, so that's something in which you're going to get, we'd give you two punishments. Let's pile it on. So that's why you need two psukim to tell you that there is no, what they call the halachic equivalent of double jeopardy. Okay. Next. Continue.
Rabbi Meir, Damar Loka Umashalay, Tarti Lamali, Sukhada Lumisa Umaman, Sukhada Lumisa Umaman.
So Rameir's Shita is at Adam Loka Mashalay. Rameir believes there is double jeopardy when it comes to lashes and money. Therefore, why would you need two psukim? It should be enough to tell you that you don't get the death penalty in pay. And what do you need in effect Kedei Rishaso for? So the Gemara says that you need Kedei Rishaso to teach you that you don't give the person the death penalty and give them Malchus at the same time. Now, obviously, if you're going to give them the death penalty and Malchus, the order is absolutely crucial. Right? It is crucial that you give them the Malchus first, because otherwise you will miss out on the fun. So the Gemara continues and says, why do you need two psukim? One for Misa Malchus, one for Mamon and Malchus. But Tzricha. I'm sorry, so on the first half, so you would have thought that Misa and Malchus is okay because it's just Misa Arichta. Now, look, how do you kill a person? There are many ways to kill a person. Right? You can kill them a quick death. You can kill them a slow death. Right? Theoretically, you could beat a person enough with Malchus till you killed him. Why don't we do that? What? Well, okay, but, you know, so, Moshe, what'd you say?
There's a pasuk that you should not increase...
No, but that's because when you give him so many Malchus. But if you kill him, why don't we have death by Malchus? So, haftaloyecha kamocha. This is an amazing religion that we participate in, that we this is not the Christian sense that you kill someone out of love, but a sense that once you're going to execute someone, you do it in a loving fashion. Right? You don't prolong the death unnecessarily. So all the four mises based in, when you learn the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the seventh parak, which outlines the forms of the death penalty, so we choose, maybe and I don't think all of them, they may be scattered, but certainly skila is there. The Torah gives a general description of the death penalty, whether it's skila or sreifa, which are explicit. Chenek and hereg, chenek not quite as explicit, but the form in which it's done is supposed to be rapid. Right? In other words, we don't stick someone in a cage and burn them. You know, we're not makif them b'chavile zmoros, as the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, the beis din shaltzukim, that we don't, you know, wrap them in twine and light it on fire. That is cruel and unusual punishment. However, we do it, you know, by pouring molten lead down their throat, and the death is rather rapid. Zach?
So, are you saying that this suggestion of a misa arichta is to beat them to death?
No, I'm pointing out that the Gemara Svara seems to be that you would think that Misa and Malkos, there'd be no issue of Kama with the Rav, because it's just Misa Arichta.
But they're not lashes, and then you're going to push them off a cliff and sell them.
Correct. In other words, would you think it's just part of the process? You know, you're weakening him, and then you kill him. Agree. It's not the way you're. I'm not. I said that tongue in cheek. Obviously,
well,
the Gemara's not suggesting they beat him to death.
How is this a Misa Arichta? Does not contribute to his death? He does not die anymore because he
maybe. Well, you never die anymore. You're either
exactly.
Dead or you're almost dead. You're not. There's only two states of existence, right? There's nothing. Nothing else. So the bottom line is that you're right. It's not the proximate cause of death. But look, when someone, take the example of Asar Sheku. Did we do this here or did I teach this elsewhere? We did. Oh, not here. I'm sorry, no way I was teaching this. If you have 10 people line up, a little bit, you know, out of the movie, an airplane, right? They line up. Each one takes a bat and swings at the person, right? Right. Who's Chayav Misa? Let's say the person dies on the 10th blow. You like that, Brick?
Yeah, it was very impressive.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad. I do have some bikkies, you know, from my youth. What's the din? What's the din when you hit someone, when 10 people hit someone, either bezachas or vasachas? So, bevasachas, I think that is their kulam peturim, and bezachas is a machlokas. I think we're hidim and meseir and the chachamim. But the assumption there is that the tenth blow is enough to kill the guy who's teetering. It's probably not enough to kill him if he were in perfectly fine shape. Now he's not a treifa yet, right? I'm going to assume for the moment he's not a treifa. He's not guaranteed to die. Otherwise, he'd be put there because a hog is a treifa. So there, one person killed him, but in some sense, it was a misa arichna. Now, I understand that's different in this case, because there, the first nine blows do, in effect, contribute. But it's possible you give this guy Malkos and then you shove him off the cliff. Maybe he dies a little faster, because he's already in a weakened state. You know, it might be only a difference of 2 seconds. I don't know. I'm not... But the point is that Malkos... The reason why when we give a person Malkos, the doctors first look at him and decide how many Malkos can he absorb without killing him is because you're not allowed to kill him. Malkos is not the death penalty. But the point is that beating someone is often can be the incipient stages of death. That's all. That's what Gemara suggests as a Havamina. We can accept that as a Havamina. Now, so the Gemara says, I would have thought if I told you, if we only had a pasuk that told you that you can't give someone Misa and Mamon, but Malkos and Mamon, I might have said you can because it's really just Misa Rechta. So what does that mean from look, you are, at the end of the day, Zach, you're giving him two different punishments. So what does that mean? Why would I have thought that Misa Arichta would be okay? And Misa Arichta says that Malkos and Misa are really kind of the same thing. One's just a more extreme version of the other. Why would I thought that then you could give him two punishments? Benny? Well, that reflects the idea of Misa Arichta, but the question is, why would that change the din of Kam Leib the Rav Amineh?
It's just considered one punishment.
But it is two distinct... It's you're not saying, you're not fully articulating what you're supposed to be articulating. Danny?
Kam Leib the Rav Amineh only cancels out giving two different punishments, but if it's...
Correct. We usually assume there are three categories of punishment in Halacha. Mamon, Malkos, and Misa. And Kam, you can get... multiple monetary punishments, that's simple. You can get multiple malchus, right? Yesh choresh telemachas v'chayv alem yishum shmona shemas. You get 8 sets of malchus for plowing one furrow according to the Mishnah Malchus. If you do it just wrong, that's why I don't say just right, but you know, in quotes. So, if theoretically you could get multiple death penalties, except for once you're dead, we can't kill you again, right? And there's no inyan presumably performing tchias hameisim in between, just so we can have the pleasure of killing you again. But in theory, it's not the reason why you can't get multiple mumis is based, and it's not because we're not allowed to administer death twice. It's just that we can't administer death twice. The point that Danny said correctly is that kamed rav minasim, we're not allowed to cross categories of punishment. You get punishment in one category, whatever that category is. We spent a lot of time earlier, the end of last semester, talking about Mammon and Malchus, which one do you get, the Machlokas HaMarayim, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is the Gemara's Havamina here is that if Malchus is just kind of like Misa Arechta, then maybe it's really part of the same species, part of the same category, and therefore you wouldn't necessarily assume that you can't give a person Malchus and Misa. I think that's what the Gemara means when it says what that real Havamina was, that it's a Misa Arechta, not that it's the beginning stages of killing him, but because they're basically the same type of punishment and one can lead to death, therefore I would have thought they sort of belong in the same category. Right? To say that it means that I would think it's okay because it's just an elongated process of killing, we don't allow elongated process of killing. As the Gemara is going to say later, Yohafta l'reacha kamocha b'ror lo misa yafe. Okay, we'll get to that. Anyway, so that was why we need, even if I knew already that you can't get Misa and Mammon, I would have thought that you could get Misa Malko, so that's why we need a pasuk for that. And then, what about the other way? V'yashmi'inan. Okay, so what does that mean? Right, so that's a harder havamina to explain. Right, in other words, as Danny said correctly, the same category is usually better than different category. Not really sure, unless what the Gemara means is that punishing me and punishing my property are two different things. It's like they're two different objects of punishment, and therefore not an issue. Benny, what were you going to say? You want to comment? Right.
If it's all kind of, if we're equating it all as physical body punishment, you're getting at least part of the punishment, part of the full punishment. But if it's two separate areas,
okay, that's not bad. Okay, you want to say that? Right. The problem is why would I think that should be there? It's because it's kasher zemam. Right, why would that be a relevant category here? That's the question. Moshe, were you gonna want to say something?
Oh, never mind.
Okay. Fine. Alright, so this is what under ordinary circumstances would have been the end of the sugya, but instead the Gemara now decides it would like to go on a tour of Chumash and bring in a whole series of psukim and want to understand what each particular pasuk refers to. It's worth commenting here. Some of you have heard this, some of you will hear this. Some of you haven't and should have, but won't in the future. So I'm going to take the opportunity to make this statement now. There's a very important article that some of you, again, have read. Some of you will read. In fact, some of you are reading it for me now, I think, in Intro to Bible, by Professor Moshe Greenberg, about the biblical grounding of human value. The point that he makes, and I don't want to give sort of the complete backdrop to it, or maybe I will, is that one of the features of law in the Torah, of biblical law, that distinguishes it from all of its surrounding culture, from all of Mesopotamian law that we know, like things like the Code of the Hammurabi and the laws of Eshnunna, all of the Mesopotamian law codes have a feature in common that the Torah has very explicitly rejected because it basically runs contrary to the most basic foundations of the Torah. And that is that in the Torah, you never find any civil crime, a monetary crime, that is punishable by death. And you never find any capital crime, something for which the Torah assigns the death penalty, murder, but even other things, where you can ransom the death by money. The reason for that, Akiva, this probably sounds familiar, you heard this a while ago. The reason for that is that the Torah does not view human life and property as equatable in any fashion. Human beings are unique and set apart from the rest of the creation because they are endowed with Tzelem Elokim. And therefore, it's simply immeasurable and inconceivable that killing a human being can be atoned for by monetary payment. And it's inconceivable that doing monetary damages can possibly be punishable by death. That is not the case in almost all the Mesopotamian law codes, where options of ransoming a person who has been condemned to death are fairly common. Monetary crimes that can entail the death penalty are relatively common. If you think about an example, the way it's constructed, probably in Mesopotamian law versus in the Torah, Baba Machteras. Baba Machteras in Mesopotamian law seems to be a financial crime. Baba Machteras in the Torah is very clearly a crime of what? What's the death penalty as a function of? Rodef, self-defense. That's what it's a function of. And that's why Mzorcha Hashem Eshalav Damim Lo. If the sun shines upon him, as Chazal say, if you know the person's not going to kill you, then Damim Lo, you're not allowed to kill him, because it's only a function of murder. It's a function of protecting someone from being killed. Therefore, so you will not simply not find any monetary avera in the Torah that's punishable by death. The next pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote is the famous pasuk, hopefully famous pasuk, "Velosichu chofer lenefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lamos." That a person, it's in the parsha of Rotzeach, which is in Parshas Maaseh in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hey, where the Torah lays out all the rules of Ari Miklat, who gets killed, who goes to Ari Miklat, and there the Torah says that you have a person who's a Rotzeach, you may not take a ransom to let them off the hook. Right? Absolutely not. You look, the vestiges of that, by the way, in American law also, I mean, death penalty may be uniform, but monetary payments may not be used in order to get someone, you know, you can't pay money to get out of jail. You know, this is not like Monopoly. Well, you know, can you pay money to get out of jail? Monopoly, you need to get out of jail card. I don't remember, it's been so long. Benny, you say you're allowed to pay money? You can bribe your way out of jail. Okay, like the days of the good old West. Okay, but bottom line is that we don't, even in American law, you can't buy your way out of jail. You know, when you've killed someone, whatever the penalty is, you get the penalty. There's no such thing as paying a kofar. Vestiges of that, by the way, exist in Islamic law. You see in Saudi Arabia today, you hear of such things, that the family can accept a ransom in order to not, you know, to let the person get away without being killed, or maybe to get away without their hand being cut off if they stole something. That particular approach can trace its, you know, lineage back to ancient Mesopotamian law. But the Torah is explicitly rejecting that. And that's why, by the way, the probably one of the most central points of the story of Briyas HaOlam is, in fact, the description on the sixth day of human beings being created with Tzelem Elokim, because that serves to sort of, that's the underlying foundation of the general notion in biblical law that you can never, that Tzelem Elokim is simply not equatable with anything else. He points out in that essay, Professor Greenberg, that in Mesopotamian law, human beings are created just so that the gods won't have to work so hard. And therefore, they're no different than the rest of creation, and therefore human life is expendable. But the Torah, you know, very explicitly and articulately rejects that entire premise. Okay. So with that Hakdama, the Gemara now asks, brings the following pasuk. Continue, Benny. Now, this is an interesting, because the Gemara presents this in a very unusual fashion. When the Gemara says, "Lo sichu kofar nefesh rotzeach lama li," what is that question? What is that question? I mean, the Gemara could have picked on, you know, there are another 5,800 and something psukim in Chumash that the Gemara could have asked for commentary about. There are certainly hundreds of psukim that deal with biblical law that the Gemara could have asked for an explanation. What are they asking when they say lamali? Because lamali means something else. What does lamali mean? It's extra. It's extraneous. So why is this? Why do you think that this pasuk is extraneous? Yeah, go ahead. Manny, you're going to say? We don't know that. We don't know that. That's the point. So the truth is that if you this misreading of the pasuk that underlies the Gemara's question is actually explicitly articulated in the eighth parak of Bava Kama, parak HaChovah, in the opening Amud, wanting to learn how do you know that you pay money for physically damaging someone. If you cut someone's leg off or arm off, how do you know? And the Gemara there wants to use the pasuk v'lo sichu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, that nefesh rotzeach iata lokeach kofer, but you can take kofer for rashi evarim. Right, so if I kill you, I can't pay money, but if I cut off your arm, I cut off your leg, so then I can pay kofar. And then the Gemara then challenges it, don't you need this to teach you that you don't pay ransom and get killed? So the Gemara says, no, that you know from, I think, Kidei Rishaso, which is an odd pasuk to choose, as Tosos Anam and Aleph points out. And then the Gemara says, okay, so you don't need it for that, but don't you need those sichu kofar and nefesh rotzeach to teach you that you can't accept money instead of, in lieu of killing the person, which is what the Gemara is going to answer here. But here the Gemara is kind of in short form. Now, the Gemara here doesn't spell out, it's havamina, the havamina, the makshan is somehow lo sichu kofar and nefesh rotzeach, implies not that kofar would have wiped away the sin, as is what kofar means. What is a kofar? What is a kapara?
What is a kofar?
Not a okay, Schlein, very funny. Not a heretic.
No.
Not a kofar.
No.
But a kofar.
No. What is a kofar? Is it kofar? You equated the terms kofar and
kapara. Oh, don't start with me. Kofra kapara, kofra mamona, please. We know, of course, kofra is kapara. What's its status in a litvish sense might be mamona, but come on, it's called kofar. It's called kofar for a reason.
Yes.
Okay, so. I'll be pshuto shemikra, okay, in deference to Schleien. What does the term kapara mean? What is kapara? We translate in English forgiveness, which is... But what does kofar actually mean? Rashi says it somewhere in Chumash. Hello, you look like you want to...
Like a covering, literally. Kapara.
That's interesting. I wonder what the connection might be between a kaporas and the... That's interesting. So that's not usually the way they explain it, but that's not an unreasonable suggestion. There's an Aramaic word, Rashi points to a Gemara in Kamsa Bar Kamsa, in Gittin, in the fifth parak, where the verb is used, that I think Neron Kesar went and he shot arrow, he asked the Tinok, Psok li psukach, read me your pasuk. So that was the way they used to engage in divination. You go ask the school children, read me a pasuk from it. You know, remember guys who used to play like baseball, Chumash baseball? So the stakes in the Chumash baseball, you guys know what Chumash baseball is, right? Right. The upside down nuns are worth the most. I don't know what they were worth, but probably inflation they're worth more than I was a kid. So we play Chumash baseball. The stakes and the nature of the game is really tame. But they used to play Chumash divination. They would say to a yinoka, to a child, Psokli psukach, read me your pasuk. And they would based upon the pasuk, they would. It's a question. Why is that not nichush? That's not our issue for now. So Neron Kaiser shoots the arrows. He asks the Tino, and he says, he quotes a pasuk about God taking revenge from his nation through Edom, and he says to himself that boy Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to extract punishment from his people. Uboy lechapure yadabahu gavran. He wants to wipe his hands with that guy, meaning I'm going to go do it. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, and then because God wants to punish the Jewish people, and then he's going to punish me for doing it. So therefore, he wants to wipe his hands. He wants to, you know, keep his hands clean from this. So Rashi points out that the term kapara means to wipe away something. He points to a pasuk in, I think, Ezra Nehemiah about kforei hazahav, which were the receptacles in which they receive the blood from the animal, because he would like the kohen would wipe his hands on the edge of the mizrach. So that's why it's called kforei hazahav. That's what Rashi says. I don't know if that's definitely pshat in that word, but there certainly is an Aramaic root which means to wipe. So kapara could be, it's a good suggestion, but it could be that kapara, kofar, means to wipe away something. So when you say lo sichu kofar lenefesh rotzeach, I would not have read that as, I wouldn't have read it as something that you would have punished. In other words, if you make a person pay in addition to being killed, is that a kofar? No, it's an onesh. Right? Kofar by its very nature is, for example, where's the one place you do have kofar in the Torah, by the way? Right. By if you're sure Muad gores a person and you were warned about it, so there Chazal understand that the kofar is not even optional. In kofar Yushaslav, it's mandatory. That kofar is in lieu of nefesh, because you didn't actually kill someone. It was the animal that killed someone. But the point is that kofar is in lieu of. It's not in addition to. In other words, it's not mebi deshamayim for your letting your ox wild and kill, and then you also pay money. Instead of misa bi deshamayim, v'gam balav humas, instead, v'nasan pidyon nafsho kichala sheyushas alav. You're ransoming your soul, which you're not allowed to do when you kill someone. When your ox kills someone, there is such a thing. Thus, in fact, it's not even a ransom. It's not a choice. So I would not have read the pasuk that way, and the Gemara ultimately does not read the pasuk that way. But it's an interesting havamina that the Gemara thought that you would have had kofar and you would have killed a person. Right? The whole point of a kofar, the whole point of a kofar l'nefesh otzeach would have been a pidyon, so that to avoid him getting killed, instead he pays money. But the Gemara, as a momentary fleeting havamina, that maybe this pasuk should teach you that you don't take kofar in addition to killing him. So the Gemara immediately says, "The Amar Achmana lo sishko mamona minei." Don't take money from him, and v'sifterei mikatala, and then exempt him from being killed. Meaning, if you're assigned the death penalty for murder, for that matter, any other one, but for the moment for murder, so then you can't ransom your way out of it. Then, go ahead. Now that's a very... Can you translate that pasuk? You can't. What? Go ahead. Firstly, before you answer the question, explain what the problem is. Benny's still... I don't know if Benny's scratching his head over what the problem is. What's the problem? Lo sichl kofar lanus el ir miklato.
Is that the kofar is lanus el ir miklato, or is it the kofar is instead lanus el ir miklato?
Well, no.
There's two ways to read
that. Okay. Lo sichl kofar lenefesh rotzeach. You shouldn't take a kofar for a person who killed. Asheru ashalamos ki moshimas.
That's not so that he could go to.
Excellent. Exactly. In other words, lo sichl kofar. Don't take. I know what you're suggesting on those lines. Lanus el ir miklato. To flee to the ir mikla. Lashuv lashet. Now there are two problems. Firstly. Just reading the first half of the pasuk, it shouldn't be lo sichl kofar lanus el ir miklato. What should it have been? Add one letter.
Milanus.
Excellent. You should have said lo sichl kofar milanus el ir miklato. The second problem is even if you want to add the mem in, what do you do with the second half of the pasuk? Lashuv l'sheves ba'aretz ad mos hakohen, to return and dwell in the land. That means that the person has already fled to the ir miklat.
Or it's just a continuation of the what happened in the first part. Lotzi klucho fair, and then depending on how you're
doing. So I'll tell you something that I heard. I think it was Bisham Dr. Steiner. Is that nus here could be I don't know if the term would be a passive participle, but like what is it, when you say people are mulim, what does that mean? Mulim means they are gemalt, they are circumcised. So nus could be like mul. It could be a passive participle. It means someone who has fled. In other words, lo sichl kofar lenefesh rotzeach. That's who you're not taking a kofar on behalf of. And lo sichl kofar, probably the vocalization you might have expected, linus li'ir miklato, to someone who is in fled, if they can invent such an English participle, someone who is in the state of having fled to the ir miklato. No, you can't. The guy has fled already. You're not allowed to take a kofar for said fellow. What is the kofar to be done for? Lashuv l'shev esbar, said Mosak Kohen. It's a very, very clever grammatical reading. Jacob, are you going
to... There is pain to get out of here.
Correct. Remember, what happens when you kill someone? What's the first thing you do, no matter what? First thing you do is run to the Yermiklat. Well, yes, but the point... it means once it's been determined. In other words, someone who is... I'm saying the reason why the Torah describes it as not taking kofar from someone who has fled to the Ir Miklat to leave is because everybody fled to the Ir Miklat. Whether at the end of the day they were chayiv to be in the Ir Miklat, whether they were chayiv misa, or whether they were exempt, everybody fled there. So the Torah says, someone who is chayiv to remain in the Ir Miklat, you're not allowed to accept the kofar from him so that he can leave.
What about a person who, there's no Goel Adam, he's yet to go to the Ir Miklat,
So it would look, the obligation of staying in the Eir Mikvah is independent of whether the goal, there's a goal on them or not.
Exactly.
So that person, you were not allowed to take kofar so that he wouldn't flee to the Eir Mikvah, so he would stay out of it. My point simply is the reason why the Torah formulates the prohibition is not taking kofar for a nusel Eir Mikvah, for such a person to do what? Lashuv l'sheres baratz hamos hakohen is because the reason it describes that scenario is dibar akasa behova. That's the normal case. The guy flees to the Eir Mikvah, then based on decides, is he liable for the death penalty? Is he totally off the hook? Is he obligated to stay in Eir Mikvah? That's all.
I also have a question. The reading of the pasuk. I thought the kofar l'nefesh rotzeach means you can't take a kofar as the stead of the nefesh of the rotzeach, as instead of killing, you must kill the rotzeach.
No, because asher who I don't think so. I think what's that?
Asher who Russia was because he's a Russia and therefore must.
Remember that the word nefesh can just mean it's synonymous with ish. V'chol ha-nefesh asher taseh chol melacha. I know, but normally when you have the nefesh used in legal context in the Torah, think about v'chol ha-nefesh asher taseh chol melacha, or ki chol ha-nefesh lo suneh. It just means ki chol ha-ish. That's all. And here I think the pshat is, it should be the same way. V'lo sichu kofer le'ish rotzeach asher rosh alamos. And by the way, I don't know what it would mean, you know, how do you want to read again?
Instead of, don't take a kofar instead of the death of the rotzeach. He cannot.
You wouldn't say lenefesh rotzeach.
And then it would be the same with losa kofar la nus el im naklacho instead of him running to im naklach.
Okay, except for that, that's a very okay. I'll just say it's a very strange on the first one. You could be right. On the second one, it's a very strange grammatical construction. Okay. So anyway, so now so the Gemara says, what do you need? Lo suchul kofer lanosa limiklato lamali. So the Gemara answers, Benny, the Amar Achmana. Okay, that's certainly, I don't think there's a Havamina there is going to teach you. I mean, again, you would have thought, maybe the Gemara thought that's telling you that you don't make him go to Galus and pay money. So now, no, it's to tell you that you don't let him pay money in lieu of going into Galus. Okay, next, the Gemara says, So why do you need a pasuk to tell you you're not allowed to ransom death penalty and murder, and why you're not allowed to ransom exile for murder? Zach, what's that question?
Yeah, I just want to go back to the point you just made. If that was the Gemara's Halamina, meaning we have Losu Kovel and Nusa Lima Flacho is extraneous because it says that he shouldn't have to pay and go to the Miklot, you don't learn that from Liyasa and Kedah Shasa. That's not a case of Mamun or Goof, really.
Yes, but.
So why couldn't you learn that from that Pasuk? Or wouldn't you?
Well, you ask a different. Well, I'll tell you what complicates. The Havamina is a strange Havamina. What complicates it is why would you think that you would pay money? And as by Misa, I guess you could pay money for the same way you could pay by Misa. I don't know. It may be. Listen, the simpler answer might be is that the Gemara just does it out what we call Agav Gerara. In other words, once they really lay out all the psukim and want to know why you need each pasuk. You may be by the time they get to the second pasuk, they know is a given. I think somebody, I thought Rashi said something about that. Yeah, Rashi does say it that way. Lo sichu kofer lanos, kosal kadait l'tavet v'tarti, l'hori b'shoge, galos umama. So you want to know, I'm asking, why not? Why not? We did or didn't?
We did not.
We did not. I agree. So I understand what your question's on Rashi. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. And part of the question is once you have the pasuk and it teaches you, do you make some kind of a binyanath? I'm not sure. But anyway, so Benny, now the Gemara says.
So the Gemara answers five b'shog, you go five b'nez.
Okay. Now that's kind of that wasn't much of an answer. We know that. And now the Gemara says utzriche. Why? Why do you need both? Right, so you would have said that mazid by mazid because the avera is so chamor, that's why you're not allowed to take a kofar. But by shogeg, if you hadn't told the shogeg, I would have said it's not such a big avera. You killed the guy by accident, and therefore, you know, go ahead and pay money and let yourself off the hook. Okay, so that's why if you tell us mazid. And so now the Gemara says on the other side that if it had told us by mazid, if told us by shogeg, I would have said shogeg, you're not allowed to ransom. But mazid, where you're going to destroy a person, okay, so let him pay money and not let's not. One person is dead already. Why should there be more people dead? Which is what the Ramban says actually is the prohibition of lo sachos einecha. Don't say. I think Chazal said it. Don't say that the nerag is already dead. Why should a more person dead? No. Okay. So far we're okay. Here's where it starts to get a little tricky. All right, so for Ema lo tzricha. Next. Okay, so the truth is, when I read this pasuk, what do I think? I don't think this pasuk is a halachic statement. I didn't, actually, when I read it. I always thought this is part of the poetic ending where the Torah waxes very powerful about the badness, I don't know better, the horrible nature of Shvichos Damim. Right? It's Mitami the Karka. There's no way to achieve Kapara without Dam Shofcho. Right? I never read this as a halachic passage. That was never the way I looked at it. But the Gemara doesn't read it that way. The Gemara doesn't read it that way. The Gemara reads it as actually a statement of halacha. So what do you learn from the fact that it says, La'aretz la'yichupar la'dam asher shupach ba'kim b'dam shofcho? So the Gemara says, Lamali? Because we already know that the only way to achieve Kapara for Misa is by killing the person who did it, which means can't pay money, you can't do anything else. So what do you need the pasuk for? So the Gemara says, alright, so this is interesting. When I read this Gemara, I was very, very struck. I was struck because I learned Rashi and Chumash. And firstly, what is this din? Before I say what Rashi and Chumash says, what's this din? There is a parsha, some of you I hope know, I hope all of you know, in Parsha Shoftim. The din of Egla Rufa. It's the last section of Parsha Shoftim. And the din of Egla Rufa is if you find a guy who has been murdered and you don't know who murdered him, what do? You measure to the closest city, you assign responsibility, and that city brings an Egla. They take it down to a Nahal Esan, and they break its neck from behind. It seems to be, this is supposed to somehow do something. What is the something it's supposed to do? So I think some of the Mefarshim probably say, I'll peep shot. By having the whole Egla Rufa ceremony, it publicizes matters, and then people start to talk, and then people figure out who committed the murder. There is a funny Targum Yonasan al HaTorah. It's not really, as many of you know, Targum Yonasan al HaTorah is not Targum Yonasan. It's a mistaken attribution. It's some Eretz Yisrael Targum, in which there's a little brief midrashic expansion there where he says that after they do the Egla Rufa, something like an, I don't know, Chil Shel Dvorim, some insects come out of the Egla and they travel to the place and they circle around the murderer. And then you take him and you kill him, which is very nice. The only problem, of course, is that if I'm quoting correctly, it's very non-halachic because the bees or the whatever it is identify who the murderer is doesn't mean you're allowed to kill him. Right? You need Adam to kill somebody and base them. But okay, but putting that.
Do the other Bito base that aren't formally the base
them. What's that?
Do the other ones that aren't.
You mean Kippa. Okay, maybe. I don't think that's what he's describing. But so I always see in that parsha it says the last pasuk says Viato Tivaer Hadamana Mikirbecha Kisasaya Sharbena Hashem. So Rashi there says that this teaches you, after the whole thing, after the Kohanim give their whole ceremony, they ask God for forgiveness, they say, Yadeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, veineinu lo ra'u, and then, the atah tivayar adam anachi mikirbecha. So what does Rashi quote from, what does Rashi say? That if the horeg is found out after they did the arifas egla, you still kill the horeg. If you find the horeg before there, or if the egla, you send the egla back to his herd, and it's mutar banah. Okay? But, if if you find the murderer after you kill the egg, they would think, oh, the egg led to the kapara, we don't have to do anything more. The answer is no. You kill the person anyway. Now, I don't know if any other place in Shas, and when I say I don't know any other place in Shas, does not mean that I've done a survey, and there could be 30 other places, but this is the only place I ever recall seeing Tosos quote Perish Rashi and Chumash. I'm sure there got to be others. I suspect it's rare also. I don't mean to suggest it doesn't happen. I just don't remember any other occurrences. I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen, at least in another place. Anyway, so I was so happy this morning to be looking at Tosfos, because I had read through the Gemara before, and I was going through Tosfos, and reading the Gemara again, I was bothered. I thought we learned from the next pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote, the atot tevayar adam anaki recha, that's where we learn the din of, even if the egla was killed, and now you find the murderer, you kill him also. The egla does not have to do away with the need to do justice and kill the murderer. So Tosfos asked that kasha on Rashi. He says, b'peir shachumish, peir shakuntris, hach drasha, from, mi ve'atot tevayar adam anaki. Yes.
Is Rashi quoting some earlier source where he says that?
So, I'm lazy in this regard, and I didn't look yet. My assumption is no, because otherwise Tosfos would have quoted. Unless he's quoting, I'll tell you the one place to look. You know, again, I didn't take the time to go track down Rashi. The place to look is in Sifrei Dvarim. Rashi leans upon that very heavily. It would be interesting because Tosfos...
Tosfos is asking
the Kasha on Rashi. Why does he ignore this Gemara? So Tosfos doesn't. If there were Sifrei, I assume Tosfos would have said Rashi's following Sifrei, but he doesn't.
Or
is Tosfos on yesterday's
Daf? He does. Okay, there you go. What was it? What was yesterday? What was the? Okay. Good. So I'd be curious to know how often he quotes him. I mean, at least twice. I would have been surprised it's the only place. But I think that if Tosfos were aware of another Makkah for Rashi, he wouldn't have blamed this on Rashi. It was particularly jarring to me to read this Gemara, knowing Rashi and Chumash, having learned that for a long time, because the very next line out of the Gemara is after we learn from the din. So then the Gemara says, all right, what do you do with that last pasuk of the parasha of Egla Rufa? Right? Now that's, which by the way, the truth be told, the Gemara's kasha itself reveals something to you, I think. And what is that? In fact, now the thing about it, it's even clearer. The Gemara knows that too. The Gemara knows that Pshat in the Pasuk of Ve'atah Tevar Adam Anaki is, if you find the Rotzeh afterwards, you kill him. What inyan does this Pasuk have to do with this Sugya? Every Pasuk that the Gemara quotes in the Sugya relates to what?
Killing
and money together. Right? In one form or another. So the next thing, Kolcherem Asher Yecharam En Adam Leipa Demos Yimas, which will really be the rest of the Sugya. It's all about that. This is every possible verb. Lo sichu kofer, masoni yevad asatan reshachas nafesh, kinei reshaso, reshachas, lo shtei reshais. What is the possible that Tata Var Hadam Anaki have to do with anything?
It's related
to the previous line, because the Gemara seems to know that would, the obvious usage for that pasuk would have been that you don't kill, that you kill the guy after, even after you killed the Agla Rufa. So now the Gemara turns around and said, but if you just, in order to escape the handcuffs of the La'aretz Le'yichupar La'dam Asher Shupach Ba, you've used it for the purposes of Egla Rufa, the Nimsa Ahorei, so then all of a sudden, what do you do with the last pasuk of the parasha of Egla Rufa? Right? It really, so Tosfos comes up with an answer for Rashi to explain why this Gemara is only working within one particular Shita in Sanhedrin, or one way of looking at the Sugya, and Rashi may be working with the other. That's what Tosfos' answer is. But I was struck by the question, but I think that the Gemara itself is aware. It's aware that having diverted La'aretz Le'yichupar for the purposes of Egla Rufa, you're now left with the odd man out is the last pasuk in the parasha of Egla Rufa. Okay, so what do we do with it, in fact? The Gemara says, go ahead. All right, so Mumasim B'Sayif. Firstly, who gets killed but the Saif? What Averis get Mises Saif? There are only two, murder and Yerani Dachas, the only two things. How do we know them? So, usually the Makor we quote, but it may not be the only one, is Nakom Yinokim by an Eved. When you kill an Eved and he doesn't survive Yom HaYomayim, and the Pasuk in Parashas Bechukosai, Ve'evesi Alechem Cherev Nokemes Nikam Beris. Nakama is with a Cherev. That's the Pasuk we typically quote to teach you that a murder is Besayif. Murder is Besayif. So the Gemara here says, how do you know that Kol HaMumasim Besayif, that you kill them in Atzavar? After all, there are other places you could kill someone. You could stick the sword, run it through their heart. That would probably work. It's not exactly. Somebody said, one of the Mishonim said that would also be an equal Misa Yafa. I don't think so. Tosa says it. Yeah, that's not a Misa Yafa, with all due respect. What? It's very fast. Very fast.
The Gemara Sanhedrin expresses the ambivalence as to how we can talk about a Misa Yafa.
What's that? Well, we also don't like to do. We don't want to make a Misa Menuvelis also. Now, the Gemara here is going to say that you don't do it Bekofetz because of V'haftal Re'acha Kamocha. It's a Misa Menuvelis. But the bottom line is prolonging death penalties also not V'haftal Re'acha Kamocha. It's not Misa Yafa. So I'm not sure what else you would have done with the sword. Because the most logical way of killing someone with a sword is chopping off their head. I mean, logical in the sense of if you want it to be as unpainful as possible. What? Okay, I know, it's a Mishnah. It's a Machlokas from Yudin the Chachamim. Okay, whether or not you put his head down on a chopping block, or the Chachamim say, you're Matizin es Rosh HaBasayif, Rabbi Yehuda says, that Misa Menuvelis, that's a Misa Menuvelis. So instead, you put his head down on the butcher block and you chop it off. And they say to him, in Misa Menuvelis Mizo. So Rabbi Yehuda's response, it's not clear how it fits in the words of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda believes, the Chachamim said, Kedera Shamal Chososa. So that's what they describe. The way you execute someone is the way the government does it, the way the Roman Empire did it, which is to chop off their head, and the person standing chop off their head. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda's tiny is that it's Chukos HaGoyim, that to chop off the head, you know, with the guy standing, because that's the way in Hamalchus Osa, that's called Chukos HaGoyim. Okay, the Gemara has a discussion there about whether that's one of the two main sugyas about what Chukos HaGoyim is, its definition. So anyway, so the Braisa here says that Hukshu kol shochei damim le'egla arufa. Ma lahala min atzavar af shochei damim min atzavar. Just like the egla arufa gets killed min atzavar, so too does a rotzeach. Ima lahalan. This is a particularly pet topic of mine. Kofitz, what is a kofitz?
Hatchet.
What does mul oref mean? What is the oref? No. What's that? Oref is not the neck. It's the back of the head. What's the opposite of oref? Vayifnu elai oref velo fanim. When you do malika on a bird, the Torah says umalakas rosho mimul orpo, not mi orpo. So I have a long-standing grumbling against some of the readings of this and the translations. We are an amkshe oref. We are apparently not a stiff-necked people. We are stiff-back-of-the-head people. Okay. I don't know. The word oref, it seems to me, means the back of the head. Now, the interesting thing is that v'orfu sham es hagla banachal, so what should that refer to? The back of the head, not to the back of the neck. So Tosus asks Akash on this, how does the Gemara know, how do you know that mimul arpo is where you do the egla rufa? It says v'orfu, and he says that there must be a gzereshav arifa rifa from chata sa'of, where it's mimul arpo. But just note, by the way, that oref means the back of the head. Mul arpo means the back of the neck. That's what I tell you.
So, When we were doing this post-host, we assumed that, like, that the Gemara there must not have been obvious. Application to Arif. Otherwise, like, it doesn't seem like Tosfos would have necessarily should have felt compelled to ask the question. But it's a very, very straightforward lima there. Gemara just, like, presents the lima, and then
the Gemara says Beferish Gzeira Shava.
Yeah, the Gemara.
Right.
Says,
okay.
Arif.
Right. So why does Tosfos think to be Shlomar? It's obvious.
It's if you're learning Gemara there.
Right.
It seems an unusual formulation for Tosfos. It seemed like there would at least be some ambiguity.
Tosfos should have just said, Yalif may.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the Gemara says that. Well, how do you know that you don't do it? How do you know that maybe you do it mimolar po? You do it on the neck, but the back part of the neck. Because normally Sayif is done how? The front part of the neck. How do you know that you don't do that? So the answer is, Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravuha. Okay. Bror lo misa yafa. That's pretty, we do everything we try to do as kindly as possible. Sorry? I don't know. Except for it may take more. In other words, getting through may take longer. It's much harder. Whereas going through the front, you sever the simanim and like that. Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Fine, done with that." Kol Hayem. Thank you, Benny. I'll let someone else take over. I mean, you're fine, but anybody like to take over here who has seen this Gemara? Anybody? Somebody? Shlayan.
Okay.
Okay, that pasuk is at the end of Parshas Bechukosai. There's a very, 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 very interesting Ramban on this. This is a wonderful example of a Ramban who has a Pshuto Shel Mikra and Halacha, which I want to say is not, he doesn't argue on Chazal, but he argues that it's different than the Limudim that Chazal have. The Ramban points to a couple of biblical stories. He firstly quotes, Chazal's machlokes, in effect, what you have in this Gemara right here, two deos, and he says al derech apshat that normally when a person is machrim something is his, so normally it's kodesh l'Hashem, and that typically means it goes to the kohanim. You can't be po that belongs to the kohanim, but if you're machrim from, that's like you machrim your eved or your animals or your field. But if you machrim something that doesn't belong to you, for example, when the Jewish people go to war and they issue a cherim against their enemies, like you have in the war of the Kanani Melech Arad in Parshas Chukas and Perachof Aleph of Sefer Bamidbar. So then the Ramban says that you're obligated to kill every single human being there. That's what a cherem is. And you don't, you're not given to the Kohanim. It's all Asur Bahano. And he points out a few examples of biblical stories that make light that make sense in light of this pasuk. It makes sense in light of this pasuk. First, the story of Anshe Yavesh Gilad, the ones who didn't come up to help in the battle in Pilegesh Begiva, to do justice there. So when they found out that there's nobody from Yavesh Gilad there, of course, they found out after they were looking to get women for Bnei Binyamin, which is a little bit corrupt. In other words, presumably if they issued a cherem against Anshe Yavesh Gilad, regardless of whether or not they needed the women so that Bnei Binyamin would have people to marry, they should have killed them, right, if that was right. So they went and they wiped out Yavesh Gilad, except for they kept 400 women. Apparently those women were not included in the cherem, and they provided shiduchim for 400 of the 600 surviving Binyanimites. Right? The other 200 went to the chapa shidduch, go steal a girl from the dances. Right? Apparently they used to have dances where the guys would hang around and watch, apparently. Okay. Anyway, not anymore. So that was one example where he says that the reason why they killed the people Yavesh Gilad is that's din, this din, kol chayim rasheir harman adam lo yipadeh, mos yimas. And then he says further, he thinks that this was the mistake. This was firstly what Shaul did with Yonasan. He wanted to kill him because he violated the cherem, and the people ran. Notice the language, "Vayiftu ha'ames Yonasan velomes." Right? They redeemed him. Why? The argument the Ramban makes is because he violated the cherem b'shogeg. The cherem is only when someone violates it b'mezid. And then Ramban goes on to say that this was Yiftach's mistake with his daughter. Now, firstly, I love in this particular passage, he writes about Ibn. You know what Ibn Ezra says about Yiftach's daughter. Right. Let me just. I better say this because in case some of you, Shema shachachta o shema lo lamadata, Yiftach took a vow when he went out to war. The first thing that would come out of his house, he would bring as an ola to God. And then after he came back victorious, if he came back victorious, he came back victorious, and the first thing that came out of his house was his only child, his daughter. So basically, she agreed to go along with it. She asked for a few days to mourn, to be mourn her bisulim, whatever that means. And then what happened? So the Navi doesn't say explicitly what.
She actually goes for a month of hiking.
They're
friends.
I see. Is that the Yagilu or Yalozu version of the story? Okay.
Is that Napshot?
That's Napshot hiking. They do go. They go.
They go
they,
up to the
solitude.
They go,
solitude. To mourn, not to hike. So they go and they and she mourns. And then what happens? Well, the Navi doesn't say. It's too horrible to say. Maybe. So, but the pshat probably is that he kills her. He does fills his vow. For which he is roundly criticized by Chazal, where and so is Pinchas, apparently in the story, that neither one would go to that. They should have been Matir Neder. The Ramban would say, there's no need to be Matir Neder, it's totally invalid, because you're only allowed to use Cherem against your enemy or against someone who's violating. And Yiftach thought that his Cherem applied even to a human being to bring as a sacrifice. Anyway, Ramban just writes in passing here. He says, "Valtiya nifte behavle Rabbeinu Avram." Don't be seduced by the nonsense of Ibn Ezra, who says that he basically made her a nun, put her in a convent. In effect, the first convent in history that we know of, right? That she remained single. Ramban said, "It's funny." The Ramban here shows an ascetic side. He says that Chas v'Shalom, the Navi says there was a chok for amongst the Jewish people to wail over Bas Yiftach four days a year. So the Ramban says, Chas v'shalom, that there should be such a mourning just because Bnei Shlonisa is Labal v'haisa ovedes Hashem etara, that she would have simply not married and serve God in purity. God forbid. Alvadavra kipshuto, that he actually killed her. So anyways, the Ramban says that this was Yiftach's mistake, but he explains that what Shaul wanted to do with Yonasan, which the people were po'd to him, and what they actually did with Anshe Yavesh Gilad, was basically in line with this pasuk, Kol cherem asher yachar men adam lo yipadeh. It's also what the cherem would be by Ai, and the cherem would be by Kaknani Melech Arad. That was what the cherem was, that you weren't allowed to let anybody survive. You couldn't get hana from anything or anybody. Okay, so that's what the Ramban says is pshat in this pasuk. But that is neither pshat, neither interpretation that's offered here. What does the Gemara say here? So the Gemara says, Mibaylei.
Mibaylei lechidetanya. Minayim liyotzei leharei. Ve'amar echad. Erkolai.
Okay.
So, if someone, as the person is being led out to be executed, if someone declares erkol, if someone declares that his erech, that he pledges his erech to Hakdash, how do we know that that his statement is invalid?
Okay. Okay. So, little background here. Human beings, in theory, have value. Well. More than in theory, they have value. They have economic value. Right? They have economic value on the slave market. Now, there are two forms of nidarim if you want to evaluate a person. Form number one is what we call damim. That's a market value. How much is a person worth if you were selling them as a slave? If you say, dami alai, or dimei ploni alai, if you pledge to hekdesh your damim or somebody else's damim, so you evaluate the person to see how much that would be worth on the open market, or you figure that out, and that's what you pay. That's straightforward. The Torah, however, does describe in Parshas Bechukosai, the beginning of Perach of Zion, a system of fixed values that you pay for a person based upon gender and based upon age. In other words, a female from from 30 days to 5 years has a certain value. A male in that range has a different value. Right? And so on and so forth. It lists for a whole bunch of ages. If you asked me, it could have been Pshuta Shel Mikra, is that there wasn't a distinction between Damim and Erech. In other words, those Arachin almost certainly reflect what the typical Erech would have been at the time of Matan Torah. But Chazal understood, and tradition, that those that there's two categories, there's Arachin, in popular pronunciation, Erechin, and Nidarim, and Damim. Arachin is fixed values which are set by the Torah. It doesn't matter. You could be a diamond cutter, you could be a National Football League quarterback, and your Erech is still going to be, if you are between the ages of probably 30 and 50, I think it's 50 shkalim or something like that for male, that's your value. Or 20, I don't remember what the exact, 20 and 50, your fixed value. It doesn't matter if you are Peyton Manning, it doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady, and on the open market, if there were such a thing, you'd be worth millions and millions of dollars. It doesn't matter. It's 50 shkalim kesef, or whatever exactly the value the Torah states. Straightforward. Yes, it's part of the root. It's a strange word. It's not bottling me, okay? I'm very easy to bottle, so don't make it worse. Okay. That's why it's ha'erkecha. Now, the damim is when I say a person's value, and that's a market value. Now, if a person is being taken out, has been sentenced to death. So, if someone says dam of alai, what would you say the halacha should be? Does he have to pay? What would you say? Why not?
Because
he's worth nothing. That's why he's worth nothing. Presumably that's the reason why. He's worth nothing. There's no chiddush in that. But if you say, Erikoshel Ploni Alai, and Ploni is being led out of the stockade into the frying pan to kill him, whatever it is, so what would you say the din should be? So you might have said, look, bottom line is, he's a male between the ages of X and Y, and therefore he has an erech. The fact that in the open market he's worth zero is irrelevant. If I have a guy who's a menuvel and a muke shchib, and he's an eved, and I'm selling, and I value him as an eved, how much is he worth? Who wants to buy, like this guy, he smells awful, he's got boils and leprosy, whatever else. How much is he worth on the open market? Nothing, virtually. What if you say Erko Alai, and he's between the ages of, 20 and 60, whatever it is? You pay full value. You pay the full erech. Why? Because it's Gzeres HaKasim. So I would have thought that the guy is being taken out to be executed. If you say Erko Alai, you pay the erech. Kamash Malan Kolchem Asher Yacharam and Adam Lo Yipadeh Mos Yumas. That's what the Gemara says. That Minayin LeYotzei LeHari VaAmar Echad Erko Alai Minayin Shelo Amar Klum Shenemar Kolchem Asher Yacharam and Adam Lo Yipadeh Yachal. Go ahead.
Yachal Atodem Shemarim.
Okay, so in other words, even though the truth is, if the handicappers are sitting in Beis Din and they're watching the trial and they see that this guy's a goner, this Beis Din is for sure going to convict. They aid them, the Beis Din interrogated the witnesses, their testimony held up. The two witnesses are Eagle Scouts. They've been perfectly behaved, not a single infraction on their record since the time they were three, right? They present a clear, coherent story. They describe the murder weapon. This guy is a goner. But Beis Din has not said, Ploni, chayev ato chayev misa. So what would the din be then? So damim again is not going to matter whether, probably there's always a statistical difference, but probably the damim is already zero. But erech is not. In that case, yochol af ad shelo nigbar dino, so tel melomar, again, min ha'adam velo kol ha'adam. Right? Okay. Now, so that would be the end of the story. That'd been very nice. Unfortunately, Ula Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Right, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya says no. Erechin works there because why? Erechin doesn't have to have an underlying value. Erech is fixed by the Torah. It doesn't matter whether he's been condemned to die. He's alive still, so he has an erech.
Hi, kol chayre amai aviv lei.
So what do you do with the pasuk? So.
Rabbi Yishmael ben Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. שנאמר, אם כופר יושת עולם. יכול, אף ידי אדם כן. עמוד אומר, חרם מן האדם לא ימפדה. ואין לי אלו מיתות חברות, שלא מתנשא.
Stop for one moment. So explain.
Okay. So if we're not, if we believe that if we're operating under Hanayimai Kavya again, that erthin are independent of persons having been convicted for death. So we use kol chayrem to learn the din that to reject the havamina that a kofar can be given for that a kofar can be attained for misa bidei adam, just as a kofar can be attained for misa bidei shamay in the case of shorshin.
Right. So you would have thought that maybe you can accept a kofar for someone who's been condemned to dying based, and just like you take a kofar for someone who's chai misa bidei shemayim, namely the shor muad where the bialim were warned and the shor muad was nagach and killed someone. So you would have thought that maybe you could accept a kofar for misa based. Then talmud lomar chayrim in adam lo yipadeh. Now, obviously, The question arises. You can read the next part. Ainli ella.
Ainli ella mitzot chamurot. She lo nitenashi gagatam lachapara. Mitzot talot. She nitenashi gagatam lachapara mi. That limit as far as mitzot chamurot.
Right. Okay. Maybe mitzot chamurot, which don't have any kapara b'shogeg, should be not subject to kofar, but.
Anything which you're 5 meter for, but there are scenarios which you could commit that same avera and you'd be chayv something lesser, at least according to Rashi. Although Tosfot would say that it's restricted to money and korban.
Hold on, let's just read it with Rashi for the moment.
Okay, fine. So there could be a fashion in which you could commit the same avera and not be chayv misa, but be chayv something else. You should be able to attain kapara via.
No.
Yes.
Something where you have kapara for a shogeg.
Yes.
I didn't hear that formulation. Go ahead. So what types of mises based then are nitan shigas and kapara? Or better said, what types are not? Let's just talk about Rashi for the moment. Rashi highlights a point that I once made an error for myself a long time ago, and I didn't realize the Rav Shechter pointed it out. The obvious. I always assume that all Mises Beisdin entail Kares, if you don't get the Mises Beisdin. That is not correct. You only get Kares when the Torah says you get Kares. Make Avivimo, Mekalal Avivimo, kidnapping and selling someone, and there are several others. The Torah never mentions Kares, and therefore, if you don't get Mises Beisdin, well, I don't know exactly what your onus is, but it's not Misa, it's not Karis. It doesn't say Karis. Why does it matter? It's up to God to do whatever he wants to do, but why does it matter so much? It matters whether you bring a carbon chattis. If a person, by mistake, strikes a parent, are they chayev? Well, that's a bad example. Would they be chayev to bring a carbon chattis? And the answer is no, because the rule of carbon chattis is kol davar shizdono kares shigaso chattis. But zdono by make of avimo is not kares; it's just misa spasdin. Okay, so Rashi says that you need kol chayrim asherecha min hadam la yipadeh and kol chayrim to teach you misas chamuros and misas kalos. That's what Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya would do with the pasuk. He would follow Yishmael ben Ershom ben Yochanan ben Broka. What's the problem with this? The problem is that we already have a pasuk. What pasuk do we have already? Lo sichu kofer. Yeah, what's the Gemara's question? The lav mimela.
The
lav
mimela melo tichu kofer shmad mina lo tishko mamon mina v'tifterei kofer amali.
So the fact is, from losichu kofer, you learn the din that you can't take money and exempt the guy. So why would you need kocher to teach you that? What? That question bothered me, and they just he wants to. I thought it was davar pashut. The answer is that kocherim teaches you all other mises based in losichu kofer lenefesh rotech, specifically by ritzicha. Right? The Torah does not formulate it as a klal that they'll say Michal Shabbos and they condemn you to death. Maybe that you should be able to get off the hook. Right? The reason why by you can't take a kofar for never short seach is why? What's the reason behind it? Because La Eretz La Yechupar La Dam Asher Shupar Parakim Adam Shecho. I thought your question was such a pashut question, and I didn't see anybody who asked it. I thought that was such an obvious answer to solve the problem. I agree with you. You can't extrapolate. And I'll tell you why I'm particularly sympathetic to your argument. Because the discussion earlier they had of Professor Greenberg's observation about this notion of not being able to ransom. So the truth is, I can still explain his position, but it's easiest to explain his position by murder. You killed someone, the only way to atone for it is by being killed. Right? You mechalel Shabbos, the Torah condemns you to die, but it's not ransoming it's ransoming a person from being killed by Beis Din, but it's not because he killed someone else. Right? So I can explain his argument anyway, but I would have thought that what you're suggesting is so poshut that would have been the difference. Kol Chayrim is for all other Mises Beis, all other Averos, but Lo sechul kofer is dafka lenefesh rotzeach. That's what I would have said. Right? They're not in the same parsha. Lo sechul kofer nefesh rotzeach is in the parsha of rotzeach in Basay. This is in parsha of Vayikra. That's what I would have said. Okay, then the Gemara doesn't. I don't know why.
I do not know why. So the Gemara says, bottom line is, kol cherem lamali.
Yes. Amar Amar Bar Kala is sakad akamina hangilei.
I said, this is very, very hard to understand, certainly at first glance. I would have thought what is true when Hargo Derech Aliyah Shalonit Nashigasa Lachapara. But hargo derech yirida, the nitnashigasa lachapara, I would have said that you can take money and you can pater him. Now, it's a very, what firstly, hargo derech aliyah, what does that mean firstly? Hargo derech aliyah derech yirida. First explain that.
I'm going to defer to somebody else because I don't have a clear enough grasp on it.
Chaim?
I mean, that's what Chaim means. It's like, are you going up?
It's Exeris HaKasa by Ratzeach B'Shogeg. In order to be Chaim, to go to the Eir Miklat, you have to be killing someone Derech Yerida. In theory, if I am lifting the axe up and then the axe head goes flying, I'm potter from going to Gullis. It's only if I'm bringing the axe down and the axe head goes flying and kills someone that I would be Chaif. Why? It's Exeris HaKasa, Vayapelala Vayomos. Now, presumably, if there's a svar behind it, it has to do with kind of slightly greater negligence. Now, in that distinction only applies for Rotzeach B'Shogeg. It does not apply to Rotzeach B'Mesed. Right? If I stand underneath someone and I fire a bullet up, we don't say, I'm Pater, because it's Derech Aliyah. We don't say that. But which of the two actions, in theory, is more kal? Derech Aliyah or Derech Yerida? Which is more lenient? Which is lesser in theory?
We're
likely to be like Pater?
Yeah.
I think you're Aliyah.
Yeah, because by Shogeg you Pater. The Gemara turns it around and turns it into an effect of Chumrah. Right? I would have said that when he killed them, Derech Aliyah, where there's no kapara for the Shogeg, I would have thought the what there?
It's just following.
What's that? No. No. No, Jacob, because a Derech Aliyah is Shogeg Karov La'onis. And you potter Lagamri, and the Goal Dam's not allowed to touch you. Right? If I throw a stone into the middle of Shus Harabim, so I'm a Shogeg Karov L'Mezin, and Eir Miklat doesn't even protect me. Right, so that's a much worse form of behavior than Stam Derech Yerida. But Derech Aliyah is more Kal. So I would have thought, the reason why I need two Psukim is because if I only had one Pasuk, I would have thought that the only time that you're not allowed to take a kofar for a guy who murdered derech aliyah, is murdered who did derech aliyah because lo nishigas l'kapara. Lo nishigas l'kapara indicates a kumla in its nature, not a chumra in its nature. I mean, Tosis is bothered by the question, but you should be bothered by the question. Forget the answer for the moment. Right? In other words, why would I have thought that derech aliyah is more of a reason to go harder on you?
Because
I won't let you ransom yourself when you
can. The condition of kofar can only exist if there's already an outlet for kofar.
I don't know.
I don't think Tosfos is. I don't think Tosfos' answer is just teretz. I think it's like actually an answer. I think it's
Still strikes me as odd. We'll come back to do some of the Tosfos tomorrow, but. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
The idea that somebody wouldn't be that there's no other punishment that can serve in place of misa.
It's possible.
Is apparently what the Gemara is operating under, and it's not a crazy assumption.
Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara has. What?
Now that we have.
So now what we have, we would say that according to Rami Bar Chama, that you need two psukim. One that teaches you, let's say Kol Cherem teaches you. That you're not allowed to take ransom for Misos Chamuros and Misos Kalas. I think so. In other words, is Poter Rotzeach only when he's a Rotzeach Derech Yerida. But if he had a Rotzeach who was Derech Aliyah, which was not Shigagasa Nita Lachapara, then you would have thought, you would have thought that the prohibition of taking Kofar is to be killed in Derech Aliyah, well, Lonit Shigagasa Lachapara. That's why you need the Pasuk of Kocher Masherechem and Adam to teach you that even when Nitan Shigasa Lachapara, you're still not allowed to accept the ransom. In other words, Mishkaga, you go to the Ir Miklat, you get Kapara. But Bemezin, you can't take money, even though it's a form of murder that theoretically, in some cases, is subject to Kapara. Still, you're not allowed to take money. Okay, so we learn one from Losichu Kofer, we learn a second from Cherem, and we learn the third from Kol Cherem.
But we have to learn Losichu from Losichu Kofer, which means that the Kodrash is Misus Kalos.
Okay.
So you need to get to Mrs. Chamuros first, right?
So you learn that from Kol Cherem, right?
Well, I thought it was we learn Cherem in the Adam Yifadah Chamuros, and then Mrs. Kalos and Losek Program gets Kavitzicha, and then within Ritzicha, Kol Cherem teaches us
Derech Yerida. Ritzicha is Kalos.
Right.
Right, but I see what your problem is. The problem is that the one that we're learning within Ritzicha, if anything, is the one that is Nitan L'Chapara. That's your question. It should be your question. So how do you turn around and say, in other words, at the end of the day, if one of the Pesukim, in other words, Kol Cherem teaches you Misas Chamuros where there is no Kapara. That's Cherem. Kol Cherem teaches you Misas Kalos where there is a Kapara. So now, why do you have to turn around and need another pasuk for lo sichu kofer on that for shortzeach to teach you the case of derech aliyah where lo nintan shigas l'chapara? We know that already from Chayrim.
Right.
That's a good question. So we'll have to answer that by tomorrow. Okay. Everybody hear his question? No, people are confused. Just, I'm going to stop here.